Hey, podcasters, welcome to another edition of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Estradol. On this week's show, we have a lot of exciting news coming out of Ford and a little bit of news coming out of Chevy that actually got a lot of hits on the website. First, going back to Ford, we have Ford Bronco, Ford Ranger, Ford Velociraptor, Raptor, Ford F-150, fuel economy in the 2017 model. Wait, what? Yes, I said Ford Bronco. Yes, it's been rumored for quite a while, and this week we had some additional confirmation. Essentially, the confirmation comes from the ongoing tirade between Donald Trump attacking Ford Motor Company. And his latest attacks are saying that Ford will lose jobs by moving all their facility or moving their car production down to Mexico. Ford has fired back vehemently, saying they're not going to lose jobs. They're going to keep the jobs in the U.S. They're just going to put a higher profit vehicle in Michigan. And that's where it's set. And it was going to be two SUVs. And it's going to be something that segment was kind of the was where we had left off with the rumor mill. However, this week, the Detroit Free Press went down to the Ford assembly plant, interviewed some of the workers, asked them questions about how they if they were Trump supporters, and if they were, how they saw the ongoing fight between them and their candidate and Ford. And it's a really interesting article. It kind of really lays out the difficulties the Trump supporters have and how they see the race. But what's really interesting came out of this story was a little quote from Bill Johnson, plant chairman for UAW Local 900. He represents the workers at the Wayne plant and the Wayne, Michigan plant, which Ford calls the Michigan Assembly Plant. And he said that Trump needs to get his facts straight. And the big takeaway was this quote, and I'm going to quote it. It says, "We hate to see the products go to Mexico, but with the Ranger and the Bronco coming to the Michigan Assembly, that absolutely secures a future for our people a lot more than the Focus does." Yes, the Ranger and Bronco coming to the Michigan Assembly. That's the takeaway. It blew up all over the internet. That is the greatest confirmation we've had to date. Officially, Ford hasn't confirmed the news. Our inside sources tell us that that quote's pretty accurate. We just don't know the timing. The Michigan Assembly plan is scheduled to stop building the Focus in late 2018. And I'm thinking that when they do that, they'll retool the plant in the fall and the winter. They'll train their staff. They'll start building new products in the spring 2019, which makes 2020 the vehicle choice, the vehicle model year. And the new Ford Bronco and Ford Ranger will come out of that facility. Now, these new products are sure to fire up Ford enthusiasts. The Bronco was well known back in the day and still is an iconic vehicle for the Ford Motor Company. I've been surprised over the years that Ford hasn't found a way to use the Bronco name in something, but they just have been holding on to it, and bringing it back is going to be very exciting. Unfortunately for a lot of those Ford enthusiasts, I just don't see the Bronco being the full-size OJ-style vehicle it used to be with a big V8 engine. I think it's going to be more of a 4Runner Jeep Wrangler kind of size. It's probably going to have the 2.7 liter EcoBoost in it, may have a small diesel. They've been kind of working on some diesels. It's going to have a lot body on frame construction, and it's going to basically be to me a little bit wider and a little bit shorter than the new Ford Ranger. The Ford Ranger is probably going to be based on the global Ford Ranger, which is a robust vehicle. It's got a great design to it, and that vehicle is going to probably be a little bit narrower than the global Ranger is, probably longer than the global Ranger is. I just think that fits better with their sizing. I think it's going to fit well in their product lineup. The Bronco will be a really strong 4Runner and Jeep Wrangler competitor. I think it's going to have some pretty good off-road equipment, and it's also going to be made out of aluminum, so it's going to have a lighter weight than both those other vehicles. This is going to allow Ford to be competitive in that segment, and I just don't see it going bigger, because then, you know, it's going to compete with the Expedition, which has been on sale and was the Ford Bronco replacement, and it hasn't set sales records. I mean, the Expedition does okay, but it's not the big seller the Bronco was. So you're going to look to find a smaller SUV. I don't think it's going to be crossover. It's going to be body on frame. It's going to be off-road capable. It's going to have the iconic Bronco stamp on it. It's going to be a great off-road vehicle, and it's going to be exciting to drive. And I also really excited about the Ford Ranger. I think that's going to be a perfect vehicle for Ford. They really did screw up by getting rid of the Ranger years ago. To their credit, back then, the market didn't show that the midsize truck was going anywhere. I mean, the Tacoma dominated, sales were down, the Colorado wasn't doing well, the Canyon wasn't doing well, the Frontier was just doing okay. That segment was consolidating, was getting smaller and smaller. And then, what do you know? The Colorado comes out, the Tacoma gets refreshed, and boom. The growth in that market has just exploded, and it's really got some analysts scratching their heads. People are wanting to spend and buy mid-size trucks that have the features they want in a full-size truck. They just got tired of driving the larger size. And so now with the full-size trucks have grown so much, a Ford Ranger, a smaller Ford Ranger, maybe not back in the early 1980s style, but maybe a little bit bigger than that, would fit really well. You got to give it to Chevy. They've done a great job of their three truck lineup. They have the Colorado, they have the Silverado, and then they have the heavy duties. And customers are buying all different of those versions, and they're not cannibalizing each other in sales. Toyota is doing something similar with the Tacoma and the Tundra. They just don't have the heavy duty, and Tacoma sales have stayed really steady and actually continue to grow. I think there's a lot of pent-up need in that market, and we just got to see whether that market is big enough to have all those competitors in it, because we're also talking about Jeep Wrangler pickup coming in the market as well. The biggest question then is, can we sustain that many different competitors in that segment? Is the buying market large enough to have that many different vehicles on the market? We're just going to have to wait and see. It's going to be exciting to see how consumers play out and how they what they're buying turns into being and what vehicles lose out. We've had the marketplace at 17 million vehicles for quite a while. I don't see that growing to a bigger number. I just see that other vehicles are going to lose in sales. If the Ford Ranger and Ford Bronco isn't enough excitement for you from Ford this week, we also have additional news, this time coming from the tuners Hennessy out of Texas. These are the guys who do the wild designs. They do the big vehicles. They put the big tires. They do the supercharging, and they tune them up to be really amazing vehicles. It's like, I called it the Ford Raptor on steroids. It is the Velociraptor. It is 600 horsepower. It's a 6x6. It rides in Mercedes-Benz G63 suspension. So it's going to have six tires, 600 horsepower. It's got a little bit of lift to it. It's got some really amazing exterior treatments and interior treatments. It just looks phenomenal. What's really impressive with the whole deal is that they actually tuned the 3.5 liter EcoBoost to get even additional horsepower. And so it's just going to be a fantastic vehicle to look at and drool over. Price is $295,000. So I won't be buying it. I don't know about you. But it is fun to look at. It's fun to see what they're taking that Ford Raptor to the next level. All that news was just kind of rumor news, and the official news came up from Ford. It kind of got buried by everything, was the 2017 Ford F-150 fuel economy. If you remember, the 2017 Ford F-150 is going to have a new 10-speed transmission. It's going to have a new 3.5-liter EcoBoost engine. It's the second generation of this engine. Ford has gone through and improved the second generation of this EcoBoost. They've made many modifications to the engine. You read all about it on pickuptrucktalk.com. They've also got the new 10-speed transmission that was from a joint partnership between them and General Motors. And they've tuned this transmission as well to work with the engine to... They have been able to increase horsepower by 10 horsepower and an astounding 50 pound-feet of torque. That means that EcoBoost will deliver 375 horsepower and 470 pound-feet of torque. It's going to be great off the line, and if they set the 10-speed up correctly, it should tow really well with those additional gearing and coming off the line, and I'm pretty sure Ford has figured that one out. They don't mess around that kind of stuff. The final fuel economy numbers, and this is not based on... cab configuration. So this can change depending on your rear axle ratios and your cab configurations. But if you look at the four-wheel drive, which is what I focus on a lot, two-wheel drive is great, but in my neck of the woods, four-wheel drive is where it's at. So the combined fuel economy is 20 mile per gallon in a four-wheel drive pickup. It's 23 highway and 17 city. That's a 1 mile per gallon across the board for city and highway and 2 mile per gallon improvement through combined. The same thing happened with the 4x2 in the two-wheel drive version. The city mile per gallon is 18, highway's 25, combined's 21. That's, again, it's 1 mile per gallon across the board on those. I'm not sure why the four-wheel drive got 2 instead of the 1, but we'll take it. If you know anything about engine setup and powertrain and developing vehicles, you realize that 1 mile per gallon is a big achievement. 2 mile per gallon is a huge achievement. These are big breakthroughs. I think sometimes consumers just expect automakers to make... drastic mile per gallon increases in new products, and that just can't happen. It's very difficult to take, especially a truck, which is literally a box on wheels, and really improve the fuel economy without sacrificing the towing ability. It's a tough thing to do. And so these are huge numbers for Ford, and they've really broken through on becoming the leader in full-size truck fuel economy in the gasoline engines. Now, there are some developments with diesel engines for Ford, and the EcoDiesel from Ram still gets 29 miles per gallon highway, which just it's mind-boggling. Finally, on the news front this week is the Chevy Colorado ZH2 fuel cell concept that was just released to the U.S. Army. This vehicle looks like a Mad Max version of a Chevy Colorado. It is just insane. What's really cool about it is U.S. Army is going to take this out. They're going to test it out and try to see if they can use the alternative fuels of the hydrogen in the field and do some testing to see if it's a worthwhile investment for new alternative energy uses in the U.S. military. It's also really great because the ZH2 concept has a portable energy source. So if you're driving, if our soldiers are out somewhere where there's no power, they can take the power source from this vehicle and have some power right there to conduct missions, to conduct sweep patrols, whatever they're trying to do in that area. The fuel cell version won't be available to the public for quite some time. The military's going to do some testing with it probably through next year, and then they'll put it into production for themselves if they like it. And it's probably a good 2, 3, maybe even 5 year process before we get that hydrogen fuel cell to a consumer. Pricing is probably going to be an inhibitor to this vehicle coming to the marketplace. And also, they need to do a lot more long-term testing of this fuel cell. In the meantime, we just get to drool over the photos and check out all the really wild styling that the Chevy Colorado designers and the U.S. Army came together and built this amazing product. Up next on Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, we're going to talk with Team Blinker. They are two ladies who are heading down to Arizona in a few weeks to race in the first ever Rebel Rally. We had the opportunity to interview them and talk to them about how their training is going and how they're using new skills learned from navigating without GPS and without any electronic devices. We'll be right back with that interview. And we're back to Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. I'm your host, Tim Estradal. Today we have exciting guests on the program. We have Team Blinker. They are Maria Parker and Sedona Blinson. They are part of an off-road team heading down to Arizona to run in the Rebel Rally. It's going to happen October 13th to 22nd. It's 1,200 miles of off-roading over 7 days from Lake Tahoe to Del Mar, California. Welcome, ladies.
Hi. Hello.
So you are really literally at this point wrapping up your training, and I was listening, reading some of your Facebook posts, and you're talking about the struggles of this is a no technology rally. This is a grab your map and compass and go for it.
Exactly. So no GPS. We have to take the GPS out of the truck. No phones. No contact with our family. It's all map and compass and each other.
Did you guys have much experience with maps and compass before this event?
No, not at all.
No. So you truly had a learning experience with the maps and compasses.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I could kind of read a map. I could look at a map and understand, but not a topographical map, not the way we understand it now, for sure.
So I'm sure there's been some humorous stuff.
I didn't understand any of it.
You didn't understand any of it? So I'm going to assume you figured out which way's north.
Yes,
thank you.
On most days, we know where north is.
Yeah.
Have you run into any interesting problems with trying to figure out the maps and compass? I'm going to assume you've gotten lost more than a few times.
Yeah, surprisingly... Go ahead.
Okay. I don't think we've actually gotten lost yet. I don't know. I don't feel like we have. I don't feel like we've known where we were, but we didn't know where we were on the map,
okay,
per se.
That adds some stress level to your driving. I mean, you're driving and you have a navigator because you guys are teammates. And, I mean, you have to be on it telling the other person where to go. Is that causing some – that has to cause some stress. No?
The nice thing is that Maria and I have been friends for a very long time. So when we do get stressed, because it definitely, communicating those things can be stressful, but we do know how to talk to each other very well. So I think the stressful part is just making sure we're on the same page and to take a step back from it and realize that there's going to be a little bit of issues. Neither one of us necessarily know exactly what we're doing.
Okay. So
to give each other grace. Yeah.
And that's just one piece of it. You've also recently gotten a 2017 Nissan Titan Platinum Reserve to drive around as part of your event and part of your training. So you've had to not only learn the maps navigation, but the truck. How's the truck running?
The truck is fantastic. But you're right. I think that has been more of a struggle to learn than the navigation part. Because we've practiced in different vehicles. So to get a brand new truck and have to learn it and learn it together and to feel confident in it has been harder for me. I'm not sure about Maria, but harder for me to be able to just give into that and just go for it.
Yeah, and I think, like, for me, learning the truck and learning what the truck is capable of doing, having Nissan provide us with such a great opportunity is, like, it's not just a learning curve, but you really have a challenge of your strength to find out what you're good at with driving and what you need a little bit of help with and kind of overcoming your fears, because it's not something that we, either one of us, have done frequently, like going off-roading and taking a giant truck up and down hills in different areas that we're not familiar with. So I think learning the truck has been the most, probably the most difficult, but also the most rewarding.
Right. I mean, I just actually recently drove it last week, and it is a big truck, and there's definitely a learning curve on how to drive it and how it turns and how it handles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you're not used to a big truck like that, it can go places. It's powerful. Now, is that the gas version or is that the diesel version?
We have the gas version.
You have the gas version. Okay. Do you guys, I guess I should have asked this earlier, but do you guys switch off driver, navigator? Is it, or is one person always the driver?
No, we're going to switch off.
Okay.
Yeah, we're both practicing navigation because it's a fun challenge, and we both find it really interesting, and we're both practicing driving, which I think is a benefit to our team because we have a chance to take a break from one. If we're struggling in a certain area, we can switch off. And, like, for example, Sedona is really good on the dunes. I don't know that I would be that fabulous on them, so that might be an opportunity where we would switch places.
Oh, sure, sure. And have you ladies done a rally like this before?
No.
No, so what's your expectations heading down there to travel 1,200 miles?
To have fun.
So you'll be jamming out in the radio. You'll be, yeah, I hear you.
To challenge ourselves, I think, to know that we've got each other and to really push each other to do things that we've never done before. This is new for both of us. So it's not like one of us is going there as an expert and the other one is, like, just following behind. You know, this is going to be fun for the both of us. I also am really excited to be doing this with, you know, 50 other teams that are just as excited for this first opportunity to be able to do this in the States.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I was reading through some stuff on Road and Track and reading through your website and also the Rubber Rally, and I think that's an exciting concept. I mean, it's, you know, you see so many, there's so many male-dominated events out there, to be honest with you, that it's exciting to see a female-driven event that has different, it's going to be different. It's going to feel different. It's going to have different excitement levels. It's just going to be a whole different drive. What have you talked about, like, nutrition and fitness level and things? Because, you know, driving that long, even like driving highways that long, it's going to wear you down. But I can't imagine doing the off-road stuff.
Yeah. I know you've mentioned driver fatigue a couple times in your podcast already, and that a vehicle makes a difference. We're really lucky that the truck is super comfortable.
Yeah, it is.
So, it is very comfortable, so that's definitely a perk. But Maria is a fantastic nurse, so she can take you on the nutrition side and what we kind of worked on.
Yeah, I think nutrition-wise, we have an opportunity. The Rebella is providing us with all of our meals, essentially. So we have breakfast and dinner that's provided by a world-renowned chef, and we have snacks and meals that are provided for us to take with us during the day. So nutrition-wise, I don't think that we'll be lacking, but Sedona and I will be bringing our own snacks that are, like, packed full of protein and electrolytes and, you know, just delicious and yummy. So I think we'll be fine on the nutrition portion of the journey.
Okay, okay. And you guys have done quite a bit. Actually, I was looking back through your Facebook. You've had shirts made. You've had fundraisers. You've had quite a different events. What's the response been for the community when you go out there and talk to them?
I think this has mostly been family and friends driven for us, and just a little bit of the community itself. Marie and I are 3 hours from each other, so when I say community, it's almost like Arizona. but it's not quite like a small town. But it's, I know that our friends and family are extremely supportive and very excited. They know it's something totally new, and I don't even think some of them know exactly what we're doing yet, even though we talk about it all the time. Yeah, they're still like, I don't understand. 70s doing what? I don't get it.
Yeah, I think Jonah and I are very lucky to have so many supportive friends and family members that it doesn't matter, like, even if they had no idea what we were doing, they would still, you know, they've come to all of our fundraisers, they support our gear, which Sedona is a huge part of making those events happen, and we have a lot of people that love us, and are like, yeah, whatever it is that you're doing, I'm totally there for you, so we've been really lucky in that regard.
Well, how did you, I want to step back a little bit, how did you find out about this event?
Sedona.
So it's all her fault. I see.
I would do anything she asked me, so.
this event is kind of fate. It's mirrored after the Gazelle that's in Morocco, which is also an all-women's off-road rally. Different in some aspects, but very similar. And Emily, the lady that has actually made the Rebel happen, mirrored it after that. And the Gazelle was on my bucket list, but it's in Morocco and quite a bit more expensive. Okay, and then when this came up, I was able, this is more attainable. This was in the States. The fees were a lot less, even though it's quite a bit out of pocket, but it's not the same to fly to Morocco and all those things. So that's how I heard about it, and I needed a awesome teammate. So who better than my best friend?
So, you dragged Maria along. Okay, we got the story now. Have you done much? So, have you been around the off-roading scene very much then, Sedona, to get an idea that this is what you wanted to do?
Kind of. We've done more overlanding than just, like, off-road racing. That's never been my thing. I'm not speed-based, which luckily this rally is not also speed-based. But we do more off-roading, like trails and things like that. And it's been over the last 4 or 5 years that I've done that since I've had my first son. And my husband was like, I really want to get to camping. I really want to do more. And I wanted to bring that adventure back. I had that a lot as a child, too. So I wanted that to be in my son's life. And now I have two sons, and it's just much more fun to be able to say, let's go camping and just do it and enjoy the road enjoy the journey as well.
That's definitely very empowering to hear that you're getting out there and doing it and just saying, I'm going to do this. And I think that's really what the rally is all about.
I agree. Yeah.
So thank you, ladies, for being on the podcast. So make sure you check out the Rebel Rally. It's REBE. Let me do that website. Let me check that out one more time. REBELLE rally.com. You can read all about the first women's off-road navigation rally raced in the United States. And for more on Team Blinker and these fabulous ladies, check out Team Blinker, which is BLINKER. And the KER just got finalized. Congratulations, Maria. I checked up on the Facebook. It's on the Facebook page. Check out Team Blinker. And for more information on pickup truck and SUV talk, check us out on pickuptrucktalk.com. Also check us on Facebook on Pickup Truck Talk. Up next is Sarah Mowell. She is a Chevrolet Assistant Marketing and Advertising Manager for Chevy crossovers, including the brand new Equinox. We talked about this a little while ago. It is a new 40 mile per gallon diesel powered Equinox. We're talking to Sarah about that new engine, the other turbocharged engines, and how customers are spending more for crossover SUVs. We'll be right back with that interview. Welcome back to Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. This is Tim Estradol. Up next, we have a special guest all the way from balmy Detroit, Michigan. We have Sarah Mowell, who is the Chevrolet Assistant Marketing and Advertising Manager for crossovers. We're going to talk about the brand new Chevy Equinox, a 2018 model. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I think it's a very exciting product that I really wanted to cover a little bit more in depth. So, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. Since you're in advertising and marketing, let's talk about the top buying reasons for the segment, because I think it's interesting how different automakers perceive the buyers of this vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. So Equinox is part of the compact SUV segment, which is actually the largest segment in the United States. So it's extremely competitive with over 20 competitors. And really, it's about a life stage. I mean, people are buying this vehicle because they have a family, perhaps, or they just have a lot of stuff to take around with them. You know, you really have to be one all-encompassing package to win in this segment. A lot of our buyers are also looking for just quality and reliability, and Equinox has hit on that with the J.D. Power Initial Quality and Dependability Award. So, I mean, to sum it up, you really just have to compete in all areas to be successful here.
And the big dog still is the Honda CR-V. Everybody's taking their shots at them, which is exciting to see more competition. I always think that's good for consumers, more out there. And you guys are doing something a little bit different than other competitors as well. You have your niche with these new powertrains, especially the new turbo diesel. I'm really excited about turbo diesels in this segment. You know, was it 5 years ago, 6 years ago? We weren't even talking about diesels. Diesels weren't even an option. They were too expensive. But now you guys are offering 1.6-liter turbo diesel. Is that based on consumer feedback that you've gotten? Are people really after that diesel in that segment?
You know, I mean, overall, we are all about just giving our customer choices. And you're absolutely right. With the all-new Equinox, we have three all-new engines. And to top that, they're all turbo engines. We'll have the 1.5 with the 6-speed transmission. We'll have the 2.0 with the 9-speed transmission. And like you mentioned, we'll have the 1.6 turbo diesel. So it's really just about whatever the customer preference is, and we really want to come out there. The 1.6 is estimated to offer a 40 mpg on the highway. So again, trying to win there, just want to lead from a performance standpoint and fuel efficiency standpoint.
Yeah, I can't recall last time I would even think about a crossover getting 40 miles per gallon. I mean, that's a ridiculously high number. I think to a lot of consumers, they're still thinking the sedan. I got to get a sedan for fuel economy. But that's really not the case. You can get a Chevy Equinox at 40 miles per gallon, which is better than or equal to a lot of your sedans.
Exactly. We have high hopes for this. And, I mean, the diesel, it's 40 mpg, like I mentioned, really fun to drive, clean, quiet. Just, we know it's going to be a really great offering to our customers.
Yeah, and if you haven't driven these diesels yet, I have recently driving the Chevy Colorado diesel. I've driven the Chevy Cruze diesel, and they are quick off the line. They're clean, and they're not noisy. It's not like your diesel from 10 years ago that did the big smoky black dust out of it. I mean, these are really clean and efficient vehicles. And then you go to the turbos. So what's interesting here is you have no powertrains that are just straight gasoline. Everything's a turbo. Everything's different. Do you think that's the way the industry's going? Is it's going to be turbos?
You know, I mean, it's a leading technology, and it's a really efficient use of the power, and we feel that that's the best way to go. It's just offering, again, the latest and greatest to our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so I get maybe carried away with powertrains. I'm really excited about the offerings you have there. But it's also exciting to see what the product looks like. You have some really great, bold styling to this SUV. I remember watching a few videos of some of your colleagues speaking about it, and they really like the bold styling. Are we done with bland? Are we moving now to bold? Is that where we're at in the marketplace?
Absolutely. I mean, what we've found in our research is that the crossover SUV that comes to the market with new and really unique styling tends to do really well. So with the Equinox, we put that in mind with our designers when they were designing the exterior and the interior. You'll also notice just Chevrolet design cues in and out from the all-new Malibu that we launched this year. You'll really pick up on some of those details. We talked a little bit about it being, you know, shorter overall, but with more interior passenger space. So, you know, we've really made it right-sized for the market, and it's a great-looking vehicle.
I think that's really important, too. I mean, one of the complaints I've gotten from different consumers is that the vehicles keep getting larger and larger and larger. It makes them harder to drive. But you're going a little bit smaller, but you were able to keep the interior room about the same as it was the previous model, even though you went smaller.
Right, that's right. It's just down to our, you know, designers and engineers just doing a really excellent job and working with the space of the vehicle. We also, our customers talked about the turning radius, so we've increased the turning radius by 10%. Again, just listening to our customers and giving them what they want.
And as far as safety, which is a big issue as well, I'm seeing all sorts of new safety features in this model.
Yeah, the new Equinox is just loaded with all types of technology, from comfort and convenience to connectivity technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and then last but definitely not least is the safety technology. Safety is a top priority for Chevrolet. The Equinox, even current gen, has been rated an IIHS top safety pick for 6 years in a row. So we're not standing still when it comes to safety. We talk about ground-up safety here at Chevy, and that's everything from starting from the high-strength steel cage to new features that the Equinox will bring, like low-speed forward automatic braking. We'll have a new safety alert seat, and we have this new technology called Surround Vision, which uses four strategically placed cameras to, we've all been there, if you're trying to fit into a tight parallel parking spot, this Surround Vision gives you a bird's eye view of your vehicle to easily help you get into that spot.
Yeah, it's a fantastic technology. I was parking a vehicle once, and my sister-in-law was yelling at me because I was getting too close, and so I just pointed at the camera and told her, nope, I'm not. So it ends those arguments pretty quickly. I was also seeing that you have the new rear seat reminder. This is a big topic in the auto industry and a big topic you see in the news quite a bit, where we're leaving children in the cars. And I'm a father of three and two little boys, and I can't imagine leaving my kid in the car, A, but B, I could see it happening. You get busy, things, you get distracted. And this is the same rear seat reminder, I believe it's in the Acadia that premiered in. This is where if you put something in the back, the car reminds you. Does it flash a signal at you and across the IP, or does it ding, or what was that? How did that work again?
Yeah, it'll give you, if you walk to the vehicle and open the back door at the beginning of your trip, and when you get out, it will give you an automatic, it'll make a sound to remind you to go into the back. So, again, I mean, it's just really helping our customers, whether it's a loved one in the back seat, or even if you left your computer or your lunchbox, it's just trying to make your life just a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's great having the car remind you of how you're getting forgetful, and especially I'm getting older. Forgetful is an easy thing to do. Looking at how the Chevy Equinox fits into your lineup, you know, going smaller is going to make it a definitely easier to see the differences. I was just talking to Nissan about this, and they're actually going to have their Rogue as their top-selling vehicle for them. Is the Equinox gaining in shares so quickly that it's going to become one of your top sellers?
Well, believe it or not, Equinox is already one of our top sellers. It's number two behind Silverado. We just have seen a ton of success with the product. We have really loyal owners. People are buying two and three Equinoxes, and we're also, it's a great conquest vehicle to bring people in. I am the marketing and advertising manager for the crossover portfolio at Chevrolet, so you mentioned it, hit it right on the head. From Trax, you know, Equinox slots right in between the Trax, the Chevy Trax, and the Chevy Traverse. So we've completely reinvigorated our car portfolio over the last 2 years, and now we're really turning our focus to our crossovers and SUVs. So we're really excited about that here at Chevy.
Yeah, I got to tell you, from a consumer standpoint, if I was given the choice between a SUV or a car that got pretty similar fuel economy, I'd pick the SUV. I think consumers are doing that more and more. You look at the numbers, and sedans are down, and this is the hottest product. The Equinox could really take off, especially in the diesel. The diesel is going to have a premium price, and we don't have the pricing yet. But are we seeing customers' purchase price going higher in a compact SUV? Are customers buying more of the vehicle with more features on it?
You know, they are, and the diesel is, again, just another option. There's a niche buyer out there, and right now, there is no other option for a diesel in the compact SUV segment. Even if you want it, you can't get it right now. So we're all about those options. And, you know, from any trim level, from we have something for whatever you want to spend. That's really the story here.
I think it's exciting. I think we see that in the truck side, and we're seeing it now on the SUV side, is consumers are willing to pay a premium for what they want versus 5 years ago, the response to diesel was customers won't pay the premium. But I think we're doing that. I think we're going to that point. When you want a smaller vehicle that's easier to drive and you get 40 miles per gallon, I think you're willing to pay for it. Thank you, Sarah, for being on today's program. Chevy expects the 2018 Equinox to hit dealer lots in early 2017. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out pickuptrucktalk.com for reviews of upcoming SUVs, including the Equinox. And make sure you like us on Facebook at Pickup Truck Talk. And we'll be right back with more of the show. Finally, on today's episode of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk, we're going to talk about the BMW X5 eDrive 40e. If that's not a mouthful, I don't know what it is. It is the 2016 BMW. It's the X5, which is their popular crossover SUV. And what they've done is they've made this a hybrid. It's got an electronic motor inside of it, and it works together with a small gasoline engine to provide additional fuel economy in this size class. I recently had a chance to drive this, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago. And it was interesting to see the marriage between the electric motor and the gasoline engine in a BMW. Typically, this hybrid setup doesn't always provide the horsepower and torque that you'd like. It's maybe not as fun as you would imagine. And with BMW saying for years and years that they are the ultimate driving machine, I was really excited to see how the luxury brand, with all the typically great driving dynamics, would deliver an electric hybrid. So we spent the week driving. I checked it out on different highways. I checked it out in different road conditions. I checked it out on different city streets and on the dirt. And what I found was it was a very interesting mix. So it's got a max. The system is engaged through the center console. It's a mounted button, and you select what driving mode you want. There are three driving modes in this electric vehicle, electric hybrid. You have a eDrive, you have a max eDrive, and you have a save battery mode. The standard eDrive driving mode, what this does is it uses tries to keep the vehicle in all electric mode, and it balances the demand that the throttle input that you use as a driver, and it turns on the gasoline engine at times and keeps the electric mode at times. And it works under 45 miles per hour, and it also tries to charge a battery by using kinetic energy to charge a battery as you drive. The max eDrive setting forces the vehicle to be only an electric motor. You cannot use the gasoline at all. It uses electric motor with the battery, and what this does is it uses all that power for up to 14 miles and below speeds of 75 miles per hour. And so you're driving only electric. And the last mode is the save the battery mode, which basically uses the gasoline engine to build up energy through kinetic energy to save the battery and not use the battery at all. And so you can kind of manage this as you're driving throughout the week. You can kind of say, well, hey, I want to use the battery for this kind of trip later, so I'm going to use it this time, or I'm going to save it for long distance drive. And it just gives you more flexibility as a driver. What's interesting is getting these modes to work is kind of like playing a game. So there's on the instrument panel, there's buttons and icons that show you what driving mode you're in and how well you're charging the battery. And so you spend a lot of time trying to maximize your driving ability to increase the battery storage and increase how much battery power you have, and using those back and intuitively to keep charging the vehicle and to keep your fuel economy down. It is rated to upwards of 56 mile per gallon combo. So what this is doing is it's taking the full battery charge, and it's taking that plus the full range of the gasoline engine. Gasoline EPA fuel economy is 23 city, 25 highway, 24 combined. But if you use your electric mode smartly, like some Chevy Bolt customers have done, you can probably get more range out of it than just that. And what's great about it is that you still get the BMW X5 driving experience, which is a fun to drive SUV, and clearly BMW knows driving dynamics. The prices tested for this was $76,720, so you are going to spend a little bit of coin to get this electric motor. But you know, for those people that want the luxury, they want the driving ability of the BMW X5, and they want to save some money at the pump, it's a great vehicle. You'll find out more about this on pickuptrucktalk.com. I have a link to the Truck Trend article I wrote. You can also check out trucktrend.com for the article. And that's it for this week's show. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on pickuptrucktalk.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on the SoundCloud. We do have the iTunes application still in. We're waiting for that result to come back. And make sure you check us out on Pickup Truck Talk on Facebook. And we'll see you down the road.